what's the beef? And we heard there on the headlines that there is something maybe stirring in that department. I'm joined now by Damien O'Reilly, Senior Lecturer in Retail Management at Technological University Dublin. Damien, you're very welcome into the programme.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
What's your analysis of what's going on? Everybody, you hear the farmers are working at a loss. You hear that the factories are making a profit. They say not enough. You don't hear a damn thing about what the difference between what the shops get it for and sell it for. Can you throw light on this for us?
Well, from a more of a retail perspective, if we're looking at what the, you know, the farmers, for a cow that arrives at a factory at maybe 550 kilograms, right, 300 kilograms of that is actually a carcass, and the farmer gets 350 for that. And 200, after they package it and take the bones out of it and so on, there's about 200 kilograms that's actually saleable. So that kind of equates to about 550 to the farmer on a retail basis. So the retail price is around 9 to 11. So that's about 50% of the overall price.
Now, run me through that again. Well, you go in with an animal.
That's about 550 kilograms.
550,
right?
Yeah.
So there's 300 kilograms of that is the carcass.
Right.
Right. And so the farmers get paid for the carcass, which is 350 that they're getting at the moment. 200 kilograms of that is actually saleable. So this is after they take the bones out and package the meat and so on. What's left over then is 300 kilograms. So if you equate that to the price that the farmers are getting, that would look to be around 550 in the calculations I've done. And the retail price is somewhere between 9 and 11. So the farmer's probably getting somewhere between 50% off the retail price. Now, having said that, you know, 350 is not sufficient for the farmers to survive on. And they need more. So something needs to be done at that level. The problem at the moment now with the supermarkets is that they're running out of beef. with all the major plants closed, is that, you know, this is small independent producers are there at the moment. If this is the time, you know, this, we've been talking about the 30 month that the cow has to be 30 months, less than 30 months. And a lot of them are
born. Is that for health reasons?
No, that's part of the BSE legacy.
That's what I thought,
well, I suppose it's health reasons in one way, in that sense. But if you take, there's about the cattle then are mainly born in the early part of the year. So this time of the year now, they're kind of coming up to being 30 months old. So a lot of them are killed. So the farmers will be killing, or the abattoirs will be killing around 40,000 this week. They've actually killed 10,000 in the smaller plants that are not picketed on. So that's not an awful lot. But 90%, 92% of what we actually produce is actually exported abroad.
Yeah.
50% of that to the UK. So we can't rely on UK supplying us. The UK need our beef. They're not beef sufficient, self-sufficient.
And
so they need to import our beef. We're not going to have beef coming back here from the UK. More than likely, we're not going to have that.
Well, we might lose a bit of it, would we, on price with what's happened to sterling?
Well, it's a crisis. and that beef industry that we have is really under threat at the moment. Because if that's not going as it is to the UK at the moment, and the UK are dependent on Irish beef, because 50% of what we produce actually is going abroad to the UK. So we need to have that.
And the other 40%?
To other,
all
other
around
locations
the
around the world,
Olivia, I come to you in a moment.
Sorry,
I
just mentioned, when Aldi are bringing the beef back, what's actually happening there is that it's a temporary measure. And basically what Aldi are doing is saying they've got carcasses that they haven't been able to process. And basically they're taking them to the UK, having them processed in the UK and being brought back.
Right.
They're still quality assured, but they're not getting... This is only a temporary measure. So what's left kind of in stock at the moment, and they've brought that away to be processed and then being brought back. But it's only a temporary measure.
I remember a while ago, maybe a year, maybe more, I was in either Aldi or... Lidl. And there was meat there. That where it said slaughtered in Northern Ireland and it was Irish, or slaughtered in Ireland and processed in Northern Ireland. Like, there seemed to be that movement. I'm just reading
that's
a label.
Because Ireland's treated as an island.
All right.
It's not separate.
So for animal health reasons.
Yeah. And once Bord Bia have approved the facilities and audited it and satisfied that it meets consumer quality assurance, it can, once it's Irish beef, it can then come back and label as such with the backing of Bord Bia. But that's an interesting point that Damien was made in terms of the 30-month restriction, because Professor Paddy Wall, who is a big vocal voice and very reputed, highly reputed in the scientific area, last week came out and said there is no need for this 30-month restriction anymore. And there's farmers are losing their bonus if they're going even a day over the 30-month restriction. And he's saying it was a legacy issue. It was
to do with BSE.
But it's no longer an issue. And we know that Japan earlier this year, which is one of the, has huge, high-quality kind of consumer assurance programs, took the restriction off the 30-month restriction in terms of beef. And I think Canada, Ireland, America all welcoming the lifting of that restriction. So that's one of the issues. In fact, I think it's one of the lead issues today in the beef talks, and farmers saying there's no need for this restriction anymore and they want some movement. The meat industry look like they've made some movement on it, but not possibly going as far as farmers who are at the gates may wish.
I have to say, you'd have to have sympathy for a farmer. You've done your work and you have your animal in fine fettle, as you hope, and you go to sell it and nobody tells you anything. You just take what you're given. Like, when you're selling things, normally you have some negotiating point, but they appear to...
Yeah, but Mary, you just put your finger on one of the real problems. It's the negotiating point.
Yeah.
This is an industry where the processing end is pretty highly concentrated and the production end is very, very unconcentrated.
Also, Alan, the end area, the retailers, if you take the discounters, Super Value, Tesco's and Dunn's, they're accounting for 90% of the market as well.
Yeah.
It's all very concentrated.
Concentration at kind of the downstream end and no concentration at the farmer's end. We also have competition rules, and it's been an issue in the current talks. They can't talk about pricing because this would be
that
agreements in restraint of trade. It does seem ridiculous. There's a reason for it to be there in order to protect consumers, but it's the kind of situation where a one-size-fits-all law does not meet the needs of a particular sector. As against that, I have to say, we've seen just this week, I heard one spokesman for the farmers groups that are picketing saying that they now have got together a producer group that may have some heft in negotiating with processors. Farmers have failed to do anything constructive over a long period of time to remedy the lack of negotiating power that they have. There was one effort, late 60s, early 70s, where the farmers took over Cork Morris IMP meat processing plants. That lasted for a while, but it disappeared again.
Well, of course, they're all individuals, you know.
This is their problem. And they can't negotiate on price as long as they're that dispersed.
Right.
And
the president of the Irish Farmers Association has said there is a possibility that the beef talks could reach a successful conclusion. Joe Healy said farm organisations are very united. Well, that would... the organisations maybe, but I don't know about the farmers. And the ball is now back in the court of meat processors and the minister, after the group made a number of proposals arising out of an agreement document which is circulating at the talks. Counter proposals were put to the minister when the farm organisations involved in the meat talks met Mr Creed as one group this morning. It is the first time the groups joined together since the talks began yesterday morning. This is a very long statement. The process had, until this morning, consisted entirely of bilateral meetings. It seems very unfair that the law militates against somebody, negotiating.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. As Alan said, it's part, we don't want to have a cartel where price is fixed and then the consumer then ends up, not having a free market and the market price is fixed, so we're paying more for our product. So, that's the reason for that. But I just going on those comments, I think what they're looking at is increased bonus payments for quality assured animals. It's what the latest is, bonus payments on, as you were saying, on cattle that are greater than 30 months old or older than 30 months, and a new beef task force to be established.
And it is about price and income, yes, income yeah, at the end yeah, of the day is, for the yeah. farmer. And while they may not, because of competition law, be able to put price specifically, at the end of the day, all of those restrictions relate directly to the income yeah. and the price that the farmer yeah, is getting.
They're
and there's no excuse for those not being on the table.
To differentiate.
It is on grading.
Evident from the quality of the meat.
This is actually more a question for, I know Alan Jukes may know the answer to this, but there are EU subsidies for this group as well. When we're talking about income, although there's a lot of discussion,
that's very true,
there is
yeah.
a discussion around the fact that, you know, they're not meeting their costs. But I mean, agricultural policy has sort of recognised and known this for many, many years, and through the common agricultural policy, we have this. I mean, my understanding is that farm incomes in Ireland are now sort of essentially they're two-thirds made up of the subsidy. And then, of course, over the summer in recognition...
Well, then that seems to be completely unsustainable.
Well, possibly it is, that is an interesting question, because then I suppose the real question, well, sort of looking ahead, I mean, is this an industry that ultimately is sustainable at the sort of, you know, levels it's at? Or do we need to think more, creatively, you know, this sort of argument around it should be about custodians of the land or whatever like that, or around rural development? I don't know, but it's just an all the discussion, I think it's something like 1.5 billion or something comes in forms of subsidies.
And it is about you know, our land and our way of life, and they are custodians of the land, and I think that's an important part in the debate on the suckler farmers up in the west of Ireland, and that we have life and we've management of the countryside through that. But in terms of the subsidisation, is it sustainable? Like, I suppose at the heart of our European agriculture policy is food sustainability, food security, food safety, and being able to provide for ourselves as a European Union. And I think when we look at some of the question marks that have been placed over the likes of beef supply from Brazil, what sort of standards, I think we as consumers, we as a European Union, demand and want exacting standards on food safety and food supply, and that's what we're paying for.
The subsidy issue is a fair one, and for many of the farmers we're talking about, farm income is about equal to the amount of subsidy that's going in. They're not making money on the animals. But, I mean, the fundamental question in terms of sustainability on this is, if we didn't do this, I think that the result would be that we would either have a very substantial reduction in production or a substantial increase in the price of food to the consumer, or a bit of both. So we've made a choice in the European Union and in other parts of the world too, to do it by means of subsidy rather than rationing things to the consumer by means of a higher price.
Okay, last word to you, Damien. Sorry, Sam, I'm going to have to move on.
Well, just given the conversation, the one thing that I wanted to say is that, like, if this isn't resolved soon, there will be shortages on the shelf of beef products.
Do Irish people have their love affair with beef in the way they used in the past?
I actually, do you know what? I don't know. The one thing I know, this is, it's creating a division, and maybe people will then start to eat something like chicken, more chicken or pork, because the lack of availability of beef. I actually don't know, but it's certainly going to have an impact on consumers' consideration when they're actually buying what's actually in the store at the time. Mm. You know, like if you take Manor Farms, for example, like, are selling 1 million chickens into Ireland in a year, in a week. So we're consuming 1 million chickens a week. Like, we've a love affair with
things
meat.
One finds out on this program.
Just a small interesting
Since the restrictions were lifted and we can deal with China now, they've had an extra bonus because they can now sell the chicken feet, which Chinese people like, and they can sell those to China
and
now, which
we
haven't been able to do.
Beef to China.
Yes,
we
we're selling lots of it already to China.
The big one at the moment, isn't it?
Listen, I'm going to have to leave it there. I could go on at length on that, because people are very interested. But when you talk about the love affair with beef, or as I raised the love affair with beef, like, I found it extraordinary when I realised that the potato was taking second place to pasta.
Can I just make a quick point there, Marion?
Very quick.
Because the nutritionist to the Dublin team and the Leinster rugby team is a guy called Daniel Davey, originally from Sligo, from a farming background. He gave a big address at the Ag Science Association this week, and he said the formula, or his formula for certainly the Dublin footballers, meat, potato and two veg.
Very good.
So there's an endorsement and a half for the industry. Go.
Listen, thank you very much indeed for that, Damien. And we'll take a break.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.